Okay. So let's go here. Okay. I think we're holding here. Umashomer per kam Rosh Hashanah. Okay. So he's speaking about Moses Dargo of Nevuah and the Tzimtzum of his Nevuah and the difference in his Nevuah and Bilam and so on. Now he's going to deal with another Gemara. Umashom per kama de Rosh Hashanah. It says, V'loikom Novi Oid V'chulu Rav Shmuel Chadama B'Nevim Loikom Amlochim Kam. So Yav Machloikas Rav Shmuel said B'Nevim Loikom Amlochim Kam. Ein Zekushya Ki Pirish Dov Azeh Ki Bevadai Rosh Shea Moshe Miyuchu Bin Vosai. Certainly Moshe is Miyuchu Bin Vosai. V'mhoi lo Shita Bin Vosai L'nitna Toyo Shemichatzai Moshe. You can't, whatever it is, the only one, you can't say that there was another Navi like Moshe. That's Pashit. Because in terms of Nevuah, if anyone else can be as big as Moshe, so then basically there could be two Torahs. And that's a Milsa Pshitasa. It's something which would undermine, I mean, there would be no Mokum anymore of saying that you can't go against Moshe. If let's say Shlomo HaMelech was as big as Moshe, so Shlomo could say, I have a different Torah. So he says, had he had a partner, an equal, there wouldn't be, he couldn't give him Moshe. Rak shuhoya miyuchad b'nevuah, v'loikom bin kamayu, l'kach nitatar yodei shein kamayu. So that's what he said till now. Ma shama b'malachim kam, what does it mean that b'malachim kam? The kivim d'loikom bin adam kamayu, harei ayam Moshe miyuchad bin vasei. Af ki melachim kam, the hainu ipnei goydol madegosu malosa shal shloimoi, she melach al yoyin tachtoinim, ki da amrinon, ki da amrino sham, ul kach nevosu gam ki madegol yoyina, ad she yoyima bi yisrael lo kam lochim kam, ve imze lo yotze moish mashoy miyuchid malos in sara nevuo, ki ein hamelach bichal shabni odom. Ul afikach af, im kommen lochem lo yotze moyshe mi mashoy miyuchad bin nevuah. So the first thing he's saying is just giving it a very, very abstract touch. He's saying that in terms of personal qualities, the only one that had the qualities needed for nevuah of that madrega was Moshe Rabbeinu. Shlomo HaMelech, because he was a melech, let's give an example. Let's give first a very simple example. Imagine I tell my child that the only people that fly in private jets are very wealthy people. So then he points to the president who flies in a private jet, I guess you call it, and he's not very wealthy. So I'll tell him, well, it's only as president. The day he's not president anymore, he doesn't have a private jet. So it means Shlomo using his kochos of melech, acting as melech in that capacity, he could have great nevuah. We still are going to need another piece to explain why couldn't he argue with Moshe. But the first thing is it was not in his personal capacity that he was equal to Moshe, because the pasuk says mefurish, loikom navik Moshe oid, and we eliminate neviim like him or people like him. In a melech, it's because a melech has certain powers as a melech, and he's going to describe the difference between that. Ve'ena purish gamke in koyel Shlomo nevuas Moshe al Shalom, and it doesn't mean in any way that Shlomo had the type that his nevuah was really equal to Moshe. That's also going to be true. But what's going to be true So, vehine hoy madrigos bin vu kokach godol, kuma she godol ma she shalom. Av she yode ma she yode ma she shalom, dove ze einay. So he says he is distinguishing between Moshe Rabbeinu and Shlomo in terms of Shlomo had certain moments and certain insights that were parallel to Moshe. But they were not parallel, but not in the hekif. Moshe Rabbeinu was bechol beisi ne'eman, and in that had no shaychus to Shlomo. So let's first talk about what he says. That what does it mean? He knew things that only Shlomo Amelech, Moshe Rabbeinu. He says these are dvarim al yoinim ne'elomim. So let's first describe what we're referring to, so to speak. And I mean, of course, it means he knew hidden things. That sort of would describe anything anybody else doesn't know is by definition hidden. So that would not be. But it means something. I think it means something that describes the difference. All Nevi'im could. It had to prophesy through some sort of mashal. That's what it says, one of the distinctions. That's what Rambam says, one of the distinctions between his nevuah and his nevuah. The difference between that, what it means is that only something that can be described with a mashal could possibly be described to another Navi. So let's give an example. In math, there are functions. For instance, if somebody asks me what's pi, so I say, okay, take a look at a circle and imagine a line that you draw through it, and the amount that the circle is bigger than the line, that's pi. So that pretty much most people could understand. If I ask somebody what's e, and I say, well, if you keep infinitely, if a number keeps infinitely multiplying itself, and you'll get e, that will eliminate a lot of people, because there's nothing physical that I can really represent with that. The natural exponent is really finds its expression in math. If I try to describe what the square root of minus one is, number I run into a problem. Even if I have a mathematical mind, it just doesn't exist in any place, except as I. It has no mashal whatsoever, not even mathematical mashal. It just the square root, and it fits in. Anytime you have an equation with square root of minus one, the answer will be something times I. That's it. So we have various degrees of elements that some can very well be expressed in a mashal, and some can be expressed only in a finer mashal, and some just can't be expressed in a mashal. So all Nevi'im must be able to. The only way they understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu is when there's some element of translation into the world of Dimyon. There's a comparison to some phenomena that exists. Okay, so there's a limit to how many things I could possibly compare, and so anything which is Ne'elam, things are more hidden in this, if they have less and less ways of expressing them in this world. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, since he saw Aspaklara Meira, he could see the things as they are, and there was nothing that was too Ne'elam, except for the Yir'an Yadam B'chai, for him to be Tofes. Shlomo had those type of insights, but not the hekif of Moshe Rabbeinu's. So he was zocher to a quality of nevuah, but not in its entirety. And therefore, for instance, let's say he would come along and make something, say something about the nevuah, you know, that his nevuah is right over his, it wouldn't work. Lefika chaisa ha'teira al yedei Moshe v'lo nitna Torah l'kal Yisrael ki royu shetinos na'teira shim yuchedes v'en la'teira shum shitu v'kol sha'asogis ru'uya shetinos in dafke Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem shahoyim miyuchad yichsib le'kom navi oid. So Torah, which is the ultimate tfisa of Chacham and the Bria, that shayach b'miyuchad to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's not shared to anybody else. So Shlomo shared in that, but did not have it. Umipnei goydel malas Moshe, v'yichuda b'nevuah, moira lav shmoi. So he says the name itself of Moshe Rabbeinu tells us something about his mahus. How's that? Kize Moshe ha'ish hu metachtoinim. So Moshe Rabbeinu is unique in that he's a bridge between Al Yonim and Tachtoinim. He could bring down Torah from Al Yonim to Tachtoinim. Ki Moshe min Tachtoinim Al Yonim, Moshe Amru Shenikra Moshe Ish Alehim, Mechetzel Matay Ish Mechetzel Matay Alehim. Olekachi Ef Shaloi Merakshe Kmo Emtsoi Al Yonim Tachtoinim. So anything that's in the middle, anything that's a bridge, has elements that it has in common with both sides. That's by the definition. If I say this is the Verrazano Bridge, so it means part of it is in Brooklyn and part of it is in Staten Island. If I bridge a language gap, it means I understand the person speaking and I understand your language. So when we say that he was Ish Elokim, it must mean that there are elements that are in common with Ish and elements like Kaz Elokim. Ve'elkach yev shalom rak sheikmo em tzoy ben yon tachtoinim ve'em tzoy em tzoy v'shneim. Ulefikach ola shemayim v'yorat. Ve'choy ola Moshe mishpat em tzoy. So Moshe, if we're to define Moshe, it says, Shenema, it says, Onochi omeid ben Hashem u'beinechem lehagid lechem dvar Hashem. Let me just explain this using the point we made before. That'll be easy to understand. If I am listening to someone in another language or from another culture, I can hear it, but I hear it only in my language understanding. So if somebody is speaking and it comes from a different culture, all I pick up is what it means to me. And that's problematic sometimes. The person who's in the middle means I can understand it in his language as he were to understand it, and then I can come down and bring it out to you in your language. So Moshe Rabbeinu could go up Lamala, understand a dibur that is kulei ruchni, understand as such, and then translate the kiyum hamitzvah to Tachtoinim. He can bring the mitzvah down to the way it would appear to those that are here. So this is tzitzis, this is tefillin, and so on. V'hoi elo Moshe mishpatem tzoy shenema anoichi oimid ben Hashem v'neichem lagim v'Hashem. I stand between you because I translate it. Olefikoch, b'shem Moshe ois hamem shehi emtzoyis b'sei de alphabase. So mem is the mid letter of the Aleph Beis. Let's explain. If you'll count it, you'll have a bit of a difficulty. It works only when you use the, first of all, in the Aleph Beis we have is 22 letters, there is no mid letter. But if you add on the five letters of Manzapach, then you have 27 letters, and then you have a middle letter, which is the 14th letter, and it is the Mem. Shem tzoyzer alpha beza, v'achar kach hashin, shehi madrega choyin chutz min achas, shenema v'atrasoyim at melukim. Shin is one letter before the highest letter, before the tough, and that represents the v'atrasoyim at melukim. וזה נאמר מוישה, כי זה מסכת ראש השנה. ואויס היי, מויר שיר תחתונים. וידוע קודם על רגע חמישיס. So ois hey, and this is something the Maral says in many, many places. He speaks about the hey as yira tachtoinim. Now, he normally, there are many, many ways in which hey represents yira tachtoinim. And let's go through some of them. First of all, in terms of a letter, hey is mispashit. You know, it's a letter that spreads out, the hey. It takes up sort of a square. The hey in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is the last letter. It's also one letter, two letters over. It's the last letter, meaning the two letters. The yud represents some midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The hey represents midos that are meant to be emulated lamata. The vav brings it down lamata, and the last hey we provide by emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in fact, in this world. In other words, the hey is that which is sort of is the duplicate, that's the makabel and so on. In hey loshen ekeva, in as much as an ekeva is the one that is a duplicate of Adam, it's sort of Adam repeated again in a way that it could be a makabel. So hey is also the letter that is the final makabu. The yirat tachtonim is the hey in terms of an akeva, isha nekeva, losh nekeva, and so on. The hey also the Maral says the following alumnus in the hey. He says this. He speaks about this in their mitzvah. You have the nekuda in the middle, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always represented as a yud, as a nekuda. That's the nature of the yud. It always represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a shoresh, it's a dat, it's so on. The dalet represents four yitzios from that midpoint. In other words, if you're exiting that midpoint, or you're being propelled from it, there are four directions. You can have an infinite combinations, but those combinations are four: north, south, east, west, and out. So whenever we speak of Dalet, we speak of a Yitzia from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. We speak about Ra, and Dalet Malchius represent that. Dalet Malchius are four kochos that drew from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but have decided to make their own world, and they shoot out and you know, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the Dalet Malchius. And that's why Dalet always represents, so Dalet is bad, Dalet Ruchas and Shemaim and so on. The hay is when you insert that dot in it. Now, it's true even physically. A hay is a dalet with a dot. Doesn't have any more lumdus than a dot and a dalet. That's what a hay is. So when I reinsert the nekuda into the dalet, that's misakin it. That is when you have a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the context of tachtonim, in the context of dalet, then you have the things the way they should be. And that's why with Mayrik, when we say echad, we take the aleph, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu being one, and mamlechim on the Dalet Kanfas Aretz. So Zayin Rekiyim eliminates levels of malachim and kochos, milamah lamata, that's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Dalet eliminates the different possible alternatives, so to speak, or non-alternatives to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria itself, in the context. So hey is a certain shleimus. Is the shleimus within that context. And he says v'yadua kader madregacham, which is Adam is in the fifth madreg, which is ki apshutim madrega rishonim, pshutim, which are the raw kochos. Then you have murkavim madrega shnia, domim madrega shlishis, balachayim revias, other madrega chamishis. Very Moshe Oyle Ala Madrega Choyne Chutz Miachas. Ve Yorile Tachtoinim Ala Madrega Chamishis. Ve Dove Zemivua. So I want to speak a little bit more about this point over here in distinguishing between the two elements that he spoke about, that every Navi, because he sees it only through a mashal, he's not good to give Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu says is al yonim tachtonim and so on. So let's understand the key difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and the others. Imagine, let's take two people who have heard a shir. One person doesn't quite get what the Rebbe said, but he has an idea what he said. He understands it a little bit, not without the, with the resolution and clarity of someone who would understand it perfectly well, but he understands it a bit obfuscated, and so on. So a person can give over a reasonable amount of information like that. You know, not a tiny, not bad. There's a, and that's fine. Then there's a second person who understands very clearly what the Rebbe meant. He also understands, but he also knows that he's going to have to teach it to a group of people that he needs to translate it to them. And he goes ahead and he translates it to them in a language that they will understand. So that person's presentation is much better than the first person's. The first person is lacking in his own Havana, so he only, in his own tfisa of it, it's not clear, it's not precise, it's not exactly what the person said, but that's how I understood it. So I give it over. In terms of the other person, he understood it very, very, very clearly. When he struggles to find the right language, the right mashal to give to the other person, he will pick something as precise in that world as in his. So both people seem to be telling maybe a mashal, but there's a world of difference in how accurate that mashal is. The first person, it's a reflection of a weakening of the perception of the etzem inyan. For the second person, it's something which he understands it well and he's giving it over with, you know, in a way that the other people can hear it. So that's the difference between Moshe and this. There's one more nekuda here that I want to talk about in the description between in the distinction between Moshe Rabbeinu and Shlomo Melech's understanding. So he says that Shlomo Melech understood points of Tov, and whereas he didn't. Whereas Moshe understood everything. In other words, the difference was, so one would assume that it's a difference of quantity. Shlomo Melech heard a half a dozen shurim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Moshe Rabbeinu heard the whole set of 1,000 shurim, and that's that. That's how one would be tempted to think of it. That's obviously that doesn't do justice to what he says over here. There's a famous machloikis in Sanhedrin. If you have two talmidim asking questions, so one man yama holds that you answer the one who's asking in the sugya that they're holding, in the inyan that they're holding. I think Rabbi Yehuda says, there's no such thing. All sugyas somehow interconnect. In other words, Torah itself is the sum total of all of its elements. So, for instance, if I study the liver because of a desire to study components of the liver and so on, I can focus on the liver and forget about the rest of the body. But if I'm trying to understand how different things will affect the liver, heat and cold, certain chemicals and so on, I couldn't possibly do that by just studying the liver. I obviously start with that and I look and see how does this affect the liver. But the liver is affected only in the context of a bigger body. It depends how much blood is being pumped. It depends, I mean, how quickly waste is being taken away. It depends how the kidneys act. It depends secretions of other organs. There is nothing in the body. So a person who understands different elements. So imagine somebody who didn't go to medical school, but he studied, we'll call liver technology or something like that. He studied a lot about the liver. So, you know, they have now today a lot of sub-disciplines that are focused on something. This guy does breathing techniques. This guy does whatever, sonograms. So the person's expertise will play out well, provided it's nogea, the thing itself. But if you're trying to look at the whole picture, so to say anything meaningful about the liver, if I only studied liver, I'd be short. I'd be short. It wouldn't work. So here also, there is nekudas of havana and tfisa where I'm zeichah to be oimid on amitios, and that's great. That's fantastic. But if I'm asking myself as far as Torah goes, if you don't have it all, you don't really have it. You don't really have Torah. Torah in terms of the sinas of Torah is one unit. The Maharal says mitzvah gereres mitzvah. Like, how come if I'm careful until Tzidayim, I'm going to do tztaka? If I do tztaka, I'm going to put on a Ben Tam's film. I mean, what's the connection one with the other? What does it mean mitzvah gereres mitzvah? So he says, If the body is interconnected, then if I pull you by your feet, your hands will come along. It'll take, two or three steps in process. The feet will pull the torso, the torso will pull the arms. But at the end of the day, it's all interconnected. If I inject something in any part of the body, it will find its way to the entire body. So, you know, obviously, unless it's filtered out by something, but it's interconnected. So the mohus of Torah is not this or this or this or this. It's not even a collection of pieces. So let's say Torah was 613 discrete mitzvahs, and five of them Shlomo HaMelech understood perfectly well, like Moshe, and 608 Moshe understood. So it would be an issue of how many mitzvahs do you understand? Okay, that's how we would do it. But Shlomo cannot at all ever be a Nosan HaTorah. What he said, even in those mitzvahs that Shlomo HaMelech understood with the highest darga of whatever it is that you're going to call it, it's not going to be Torah, because Torah is the entire package as the entire package, and that's, you know, and that's why it's such an Ikar Emuna. The Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the entire Torah from Bereishis and Kol Yisrael. You know, it all comes from Moshe, because everything else would be lacking. If there'd be a piece that doesn't come from Moshe, then the entire Torah is not Moshe's Torah. Then, you know, there's a piece, and that's why a Sefer Torah that's missing one ois, if it doesn't come together as one unit, it's not. Okay, for Oidis Boiler Kaman, he says the next parak, two parakim, he's going to have Yehuda Shal Moshe. He's going to speak over there about his Midas. Another Shabbeshvil Oisa Yichud Nital Yada Torah Micheles V'Daybezeh, and over there he says why Moshe's Torah. So this one he was talking about why Moshe V'Dafka, and Moshe's Dagger is the other people's Dagger. Okay, any questions? Any points?
Yes, can I just ask about the Madrigos?
Yes.
What exactly did I shoot to him?
I'm sorry.
Which Madrigos that we said?
So I'll tell you he's going with a description that it's more the old Greek philosophy. You have domein, so meach, chai, and adam. He has murkav and pashut. Pashut would be elements, or even more basic than elements. You would possibly say, protons, electrons, something. You know, that's how we translate it. Pshuta means things that are base elements, things that cannot be broken to anything else. Murkav are the basic units, like what we'd call molecules, I guess, today. And that's what it means over here. Okay, so the next 2 weeks I'm in Eretz Yisrael, Be'ez Hashem. And then in Eretz Hashem Mishpatim, I'll be back again, Be'ez Hashem. Okay, take care. All the best. Good luck.